Okay, it's Saturday, the 9th of June 2012. We're at Occupy Saturday. We just had the 64th General Assembly, and now Jace MG is holding an information session about the Cash Cow project, which Sarah has requested we record, so that's what we're doing. I'm just loading a copy of the Cash Cow report for Jace to refer to, and then I will hand the computer over to him. Here we go.
Beautiful. So everyone can see me, all that sort of thing. It's all good. All good. Everyone can see me. It's recording out of this.
It's recording out of that.
Okay. Okay. So we will begin this discussion. So how many of you have read the document?
One. No one has.
This is the Cash Cow document. Cash Cow. Cash Cow. Okay. So, I'll explain that right now. What this is it's a project that I've been doing for the last couple of months. It started with an investigation on who are the major shareholders in our top four banks, being ANZ, the Commonwealth Bank, NAB, and Westpac. I was researching a couple of months ago who are the top shareholders of our big four banks, being Commonwealth Bank, NAB, ANZ and Westpac. And what I found is we had the top four shareholders were exactly the same banks, being the international banks, JP Morgan, HSBC, Citicorp and National Nominees, which is NAB. Upon further investigation, I went out of interest. I just went, oh, look, I wonder who owns BHP. And lo and behold, same four guys popped up. HSBC, JP Morgan, Citibank, and National Nominees. And this is the case for the majority of every Australian business. Every major Australian business, that is. That includes Qantas, Blue Steel, the Downer Group, who handle a lot of the logistics for mining companies, all the way to Coles, Safeway, Myer, basically every major Australian company you could imagine owned by the same four shareholding companies. Now, who here knows how shareholding companies work? Little bit.
Yeah, the majority of holders, 51%, that's the board, yeah?
That's different. That's if you're a personal shareholder. If you own 51%, you own the board.
Company,
yeah.
And everyone else is
51% if you are an individual company that holds those shares, then yeah, you own that business. A shareholding company, what their job is they will go out and they'll buy shares in companies and then they'll sell them onto other companies and they'll hold the shares for them. Essentially, if you buy shares through a shareholding company, you own those shares, but the shareholding company has control of them and will hold them for you. You can still vote in accordance to what your shareholder rights give you, but what a lot of shareholder companies do is say, look, we can vote on your behalf, and a lot of people actually do that. And we're looking at a situation where a lot of Australian companies are 75% foreign owned. And what this translates into is that we're in a situation where our economy is at the mercy of foreign investors. And in a global financial crisis like we're seeing at the moment, there is nothing stopping international investors saying, look, it's more worth our while that we pull our shares in Australian business because we want to invest locally. So we can encourage people that have interest in Australian businesses to just sell their shares and leave those businesses out to dry. And that's a major problem in Australia because we are very focused on mining. And a lot of our Australian companies, as a matter of fact, the majority of our Australian companies are focused on mining. Even Coles and Safeway in Karratha and towns like that, which are mining towns, the only shops available are Coles and Safeway. So if Coles and Safeway were to disappear off the face of the planet, then there'll be nowhere for miners to buy food in the mining towns, and hence mining would go belly up. Same goes for Qantas. Qantas frequently flies charter flights out to the mines. if Qantas was to go belly up, and they're actually looking under threat at the moment, if Qantas was to go belly up, no one will be able to fly the planes out there, because there's no other airline in Australia that has planes small enough to charter flights out to the mining towns. So this is a pretty potentially devastating situation we have. Yeah.
Is all that tonight?
Huh?
All that tonight?
All this tonight?
Are we staying here tonight?
No, we're not staying here tonight.
What time is it over?
It's over after the next thing, after 7, isn't it? I've actually got a list here of the companies that I've found are owned by, oh no, so I'm on this document. That's a bit of unpreparation, isn't it? But theoretically, if any of our major Australian businesses was crashed, then that's our whole economy gone.
There'd be a far bigger occupation.
There would be. Like, we actually have a very strong economy, but it's a house of cards.
It's at risk.
It's at risk. It's very much under threat. Actually, after the last month, we've lost about $8 billion. Actually, $100 billion all up has been lost this year because of the Greece situation. And shareholders panicking over there and pulling their shares out of Greece, which has translated to people pulling their shares out of Australia. And that's how affected we are by the global situation, is it's very delicate and it could blow over at any given moment. Is there anything I need to clarify? Any? I could read the article if everyone's comfortable with that. This is an in-depth article. I'll read the introduction. But this is available on the Occupy Melbourne Facebook groups, and I really encourage that everyone reads it, because it's a lot of research has gone into this, and it's in depth. And if you read this, you'll get a grasp of what's going on. So, until Facebook goes. The introduction to this article. Australia was very lucky to escape the 2009 global financial crisis, and it owes its stable economy to mineral exports. It is, most likely, the primary reason why Australia avoided the extremes we have seen in Europe. However, our mineral exports come at a heavy cost. Mining in Australia relies on the exploitation and removal of Indigenous people from their native lands. We are forced to live in a substandard conditions and do not want to live in, and nor are prepared to. Coupled with the environmental damage associated with mining and the fact that minerals are a finite resource, relying on mining to keep Australia afloat is unsustainable in the long term. The Australian economy is exploited by and is highly profitable for overseas investors, leaving very little for Australians. In fact, the degree of profit made by overseas investors on the Australian economy dwarfs our own. Almost every major company in Australia can be somehow directly linked to the mining industry, and the investors follow this pattern. What follows is not a conspiracy theory. It's what happens when you allow foreign investors who have vastly more money than the Australian GDP to buy shares in Australian companies in a fashion that bends the rules of marketing. As a matter of fact, I believe that there is no intentional conspiracy of one group to create a new world order. I actually believe that the problem with how things are on the global scale is related to the fact that our social and economic systems have never taken into account that we now operate on a global level. I wholeheartedly believe that the globally dominant corporations, which have more financial power and intellectual resources than entire countries, are the result of the conditions of our modern economy. It is our blind chase of a fundamental commodity we rely so desperately on that causes these problems. And the irony of that is, of all the commodities that exist, it is the only artificial one, and it's money. Overseas investors are not the cause of apparent treatment of the indigenous people and the destruction of their environment or the high suicidal rate in rural Australia, but rather they are a major catalyst and stand in the way of a reasonable situation, a reasonable solution to be found. Of course, what makes the ethics of how we as a nation survive in the global financial climate much worse is that our mineral is what our minerals are used for. Australian steel is, undisputably, the highest quality in the world. Thankfully, a lot of our steel is used for Australian infrastructure, like cars, trucks and trailers. However, the steel that is exported is highly sought by the manufacturers of the Abrams tanks, which are the tanks that are used by the US, British and also the Iraqi military. Go figure. Yeah, I found that out later. The uranium we mine is exported on the premise that it is not used for nuclear weapons. However, it is used in reactors. And the uranium is officially the property of a country and they can do whatever they want with it after it's been in the reactor. Australian uranium that is used in American nuclear reactors is eventually turned into devastating projectiles known as depleted uranium munitions. These are armor-penetrating shells that slice through steel and explode, irradiating vehicles, soldiers and civilians, as well as the soil and any nearby water supply. Irradiation from DU shells is responsible for the serious birth defects in Iraqi children and the children of US and British soldiers. It is our steel and uranium that powers the US war machine in Iraq, devastating the lives of innocent civilians and is driving the price of oil higher back home, making it difficult for Australians to afford to drive to work, the shops, or drive their children to school. I use the example of mining in Australia to demonstrate how easy it is to cover all bases when investing in a product. It is a wise move to make. I do hope that the way that I've linked things together by investments in the foreign banks in Australia is just a coincidence, but from what I've seen of the dirtier side of business, it wouldn't surprise me if the strategy is at all intentional. After compiling over 300 meg of PDF files and leafing through countless annual reports, it is my humble opinion that it is not ethical nor wise for Australia to rely on mineral exports to survive. It was a shock to find out how much suffering went into every scrap of iron and uranium mined in Australia, but an even bigger one to realise that the same investment companies made a profit out of every step of the process. With all our efforts behind just one export, it presents itself as a serious weakness in the economy. As I went further into my research, I found it wasn't only the finance and mining sector that was owned by a small cartel of overseas investors, but our food and transport as well. Qantas, the once proud flagship of the Australian business, is now 51% foreign owned. Telstra, Coles and Woolworths are owned by the same small group of investment companies. Australia is no longer Australian owned, and serious action needs to take place if our culture, ethics and economy is to survive. Pressure has been ever mounting for us to work harder and longer for less, in the interest of Australia simply existing financially. And the pressure comes from international investors that do not have our best interests at heart. It is my strictest belief that we make the leap from nation to communities to a global community in the 21st century. And the rules and methods that we run a global economy, the process where resources are distributed throughout the global populace need to change in order for the human race to survive.
You wrote this?
I did.
Thought so.
That's, yeah.
How long did this take you to
do? This is the work of about 6 months.
Wow.
And it was, for me, researching this was a big learning experience because I went in knowing a little bit about economics and I've come out of it feeling almost like a work tank of knowledge on how economics works and how the stock market works and how it all goes together. And it's really shocking because the theory behind the global market is democratic. The whole thing is that, okay, if businesses run everything and we have globally operating businesses, then the global population should be able to invest in these evenly. So the theory is, okay, people will put their money into what they think is important. But what we're finding is the opposite, is that people are putting their money into things that will return the greatest investment for them. And this does not necessarily translate into what is actually best for the human race. Exactly. People will invest in oil when times are tough, pushing the price of oil higher, where it's not financially, it's not beneficial for us to be relying on oil products. It's not beneficial for us to rely on cars that are petrol driven. In the long term, it pollutes. And what we're finding is we're stuck in a rut where we can see the damage that is happening by these industries, but we can't do anything about it in the current theory of global economics, because if people were to go and invest in solar power, because that's the way forward, then people wouldn't be able to drive to work because there would be no oil industry and the whole thing would collapse. And it's a really insane method of running things, and it is most definitely not sustainable in the long term. And what's really shocking in Australia is that nobody's aware.
Well, it's always important to be aware of how they actually maintain the problem.
Yeah.
By trying to basically pull the rug underneath all the solar power companies, freezing assets and shit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perverse. It's struck me ever since the beginning of this thing that the chorus you constantly hear is, why is this relevant in Australia? Why is it not relevant in Australia? Our economy here is good. We're fine, you know. And yet we're constantly hearing this, again, this chorus of globalisation, because the economy is open.
Well, here's,
people don't understand that it's an interconnected system around the world. Well, and you have to explain that to them, and then it's like, no, I refuse to believe that.
It is a big game of musical chairs, and right now Australia's got a chair.
We've got a chair right now.
But we can, the chair's going to disappear.
Not everyone, though. Like, I just think that attitude is, we're better off than America, and we might be better off than Greece or Spain. But actually, talk to someone who has no home. Or can't afford to go to the dentist.
Exactly.
Can't afford $65 to see a doctor. We're actually not that great.
No.
We're better, but I mean, what are we, in terms of human rights, people should have, you know, the right to shelter, healthcare. We don't.
Yeah.
Not everybody does.
Well, it's the Australian attitude of just, we tend to sweep our problems under the rug and just forget about it.
Yep.
You see it like, what we've seen from the Melbourne City Council in the last couple of years, especially with the Commonwealth Games, is one of the things that they did was, okay, we've got the Commonwealth Games coming. What we're going to do is we're going to get all the homeless people off the street. And that, which wasn't, okay, we're going to solve the problem of homelessness. It was, we're going to get them out of the CBD and we're going to move them into the outer suburbs and just forget about them. And it's not the attitude to have, because if there's a problem there, then there is a solution that has to be found.
So on a broader scale, you can see this attitude saying, well, you know, we're all right in Australia. It's not about whether or not we're all right in Australia. It's about, you know.
So I've always said that something that people need to realise when it comes to saying, yeah, we're better off than America, so why should we worry? Or we're better off than Greece and Spain and that, so why should we be worrying now? I say to them, well, imagine, like, you get sick and you either have cancer or you have AIDS.
Yeah.
You're better off if you have cancer, but you're still fucked. Either way, you still have cancer.
Yeah.
It's still bad. Because sure, you can potentially fix cancer, but, you know, it's the whole thing of, you know, we may be better off, but things are still very bad, and people just don't like to realize that.
See, look, could bring Simon Dick on.
Yeah, Simon knows a lot about this. Yeah, but,
what you were saying earlier, but it's almost as if there is this layer of abstraction between actual resources, the way the resources are distributed.
Yeah.
The theory is supposed to lead to them being distributed well, it could actually
But the reason why I entitled this cash cow is that is exactly how Australia is being treated. We are supplying other economies with money when their economies are failing, but not in a way that actually benefits them. It just benefits the bankers, because the bankers over there will not invest in their local businesses and the businesses of their countries. They're investing in Australian businesses because their businesses are failing. So with them investing so much money in Australia, it's actually making other countries worse. And where this becomes a massive problem for us is it drives our dollar higher. So what we're looking at is a situation where a couple of months ago, the Treasury Department was greatly concerned with the value of the Australian dollar, because no one from overseas could afford to buy our minerals because it was too damn expensive. Because as overseas economies fail and we're relying on exporting our minerals to them and our economy is getting bigger, they simply can't afford to buy our stuff, so we can't sell them.
But the whole thing is it's a massive mind game. I remember, a couple of weeks ago, the big article on the Age, whoops, the markets are way down. Wayne Swan's sort of trying to restore confidence, be confident, everyone. But the Age is convinced he was on the phone to their
Here's the thing about it, is that politicians, the cops, everyone, right, they're all doing their job. All they want to do is keep their job. When you've got the leadership in Australia, i.e. the government, trying to make decisions on Australia's behalf, their key interest is keeping their job. They don't want to say, look guys, sorry, under our watch, things got a little bit stuffed, just so you know, but we're trying to fix the problem. But they're not going to say that. What they're going to say is, everything's fine, don't worry. We're in no trouble, your government is taking care of things, just go back to work. Go back to work, be supportive of Australian business, that's all you have to do.
Broader scale, why? Because it ensures stability.
Exactly. And they get to keep their jobs.
And if this is the problem, sheer inertia. Sheer inertia is driving sovereignty because we can't just dismantle it.
No.
Tegan. You smoke. You got something interesting for you.
Oh, this is the free cigarette thing.
No.
Yeah, market research.
Market research.
Yeah. Free smokes.
Free money.
They give you money to buy more cigarettes.
All right. Fair enough. That's all right. Pass us one. It's really bad.
I can use money.
See, what people can do, number one, is educate themselves. The more you know about this, the much easier it is to explain to people. And if the more you understand it, it also helps other people understand it too. I personally believe that if we are to truly live in a democratic society, the people of this country, who are supposed to be democratic, have to be able to make informed decisions and have to have information to do that. And probably the best way you can do that is to understand economics, because that's the way the ship runs these days. But in terms of action, the first thing you should do is move your money. Get it out of a main bank, get it out of ANZ, get it out of Westpac, Commonwealth Bank, any of those.
Even
St George, even Bendigo, it's all owned by the same guys. St John's is owned by Westpac, who in turn is owned by
Bendigo Bank.
Bendigo Bank, same guys. The best bet is to go for a credit union or a community bank. Community-based banks are much easier to get into than credit unions. Some credit unions have very strict membership, i.e. you have to have over this amount of money to get in. Others are very open, where the membership costs as little as $5. And when you get a membership under a credit union, the members are account holders, and each member gets one vote regardless of how much money they got in their account. And the board of directors are voted in completely democratically, and they get no benefits. Generally, they're volunteers to run the bank, which is a much, much better system in that when you've got banks that are relying on shareholders, they will do shit to please the shareholders and not their customers. The second thing you can do is that if you're a shareholder, move your shares. If you are investing in a company through a holdings company like HSBC, JP Morgan, CommSec, National Nominees, all of those, invest directly. Pull your shares out of that and go and invest in the company that you have an interest in directly. And just play the stock market, do it old school. It just takes maybe 10 minutes a day, check up what's happening with the stock market. If you're not happy with how your shares are performing, pull them out and put them in something else. If you're not happy with the company, what the company is doing, and if the company is doing something unethical, definitely pull it out and put it into something that you're more happy with. And with that, invest ethically. Don't go for something just because you're going to get a return. Go for something that you believe is ethically correct and is something that we actually need that will also get you a return. It may not be the same return, you may not be getting as much money, but in the long term you're doing something that is much beneficial for you and everybody else. And not only that, but the way things are going, hey, invest in solar power because we're running out of oil. So if you're getting while the shares are cheap, those shares are going to go up. So 10, 20 years time, you're going to be raking in the money, and that's a good thing. You know? Hey, you invested in solar power, nothing wrong with that at all. Third thing is to buy your food locally and buy quality. The problem at the moment with Coles and Safeway is that they're importing a lot of their fruits and vegetables from overseas, and this drives the price of fruit and vegetables down, which Australian farmers can't compete with. So don't shop at Coles and Safeway if you can help it, and buy from your local grocer, and double check and make sure that they don't import their fruit and vegetables, and make sure that they're buying their fruit and vegetables from Australian farmers, and try to support our Australian farmers, because the suicide rate in rural Australia because of the economy is going right up, and it's actually higher in rural Australia than it is in the city because of the economic situation. I've lost your document. Where'd it go? Here it is. Yeah, it's still recording. The fourth and probably most important thing you can do is demand an Indigenous treaty. The Indigenous people have been here long before white Australia has been here, and this is their land. And we're looking at a situation where they cannot even set up a tent embassy on their own land to say, look guys, we want a treaty, we want sovereignty, without white Australia coming in and kicking the crap out of them. And that's just not on. And furthermore, mining companies rely on kicking Indigenous Australians off their land. And that's not ethical. And it's just not right. And the best thing that we can do to stop that is demand a treaty. And to stop the mining companies from destroying the land and ruining the Indigenous heritage. The fifth thing that you can do is resist globalisation by corporation. Now, corporations are not people. Corporations are a bit of paper, and corporations are a bunch of shareholders that may not be there in a year. They are soulless, lifeless entities. Support small business.
That will do absolutely anything to maximise the shareholders.
Absolutely.
Guns to the heads of small children and make them like shoes for 2 cents.
The difference between a business, the ethical difference between a business and a corporation is a business exists for the owners to be able to get by and put a roof over their head. Right? And for the most part, it's something that the owners enjoy. You know, a corporation exists purely to make money at any cost. And corporations will rip you off. They might serve it up on a silver platter, but they are ripping you off, and you are not getting value for money. If you resist the global corporations, you are going to find yourself much, much happier buying off local businesses and buying off small businesses. And number six is to take back your democracy. Whether that means by protesting, whether that means by actually becoming involved with local politics and writing to your local politicians and members of parliament, and becoming wise in the going-ons in politics and international politics and business too. And empower yourself to make take advantage of your democratic right to make decisions, you know, for your country. You know, this is our country and we own it. Just voting for somebody to tell you what to do is not living in a democracy. And not a lot of people realise that we do have this right to make demands, and we do have this right to protest if something is going on that we don't agree with. And it is not, it is irresponsible of us to sit by and just go, it's okay, somebody else is taking care of it. They made that decision for a reason. They must have made it. You know, they must have made the right decision. Yeah. Exactly. How many people you hear bagging out Julie Gillard? I mean, how many people are 100% happy with our government? You know, why sit by and just let it happen? You know, actually take charge. Is there anything else that anyone wants to know? Anything?
What are your policies on Chinese?
Jules. I'll challenge you to one later. I demand satisfaction.
Okay. All right, we'll have a visual display.
Yes. All right, cool. Actually, in early France, it was illegal to not show up for a duel if you agreed. Punishable by death.
Flaking on a duel is punishable.
Flaking on a duel.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, that's Cash Cow. I'll hand you back your computer.
Sarah's off. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Fantastic work. Thank you.
Yeah. But, jump online and have a read of that document. It's in depth. I'm still putting it together. I dare say that what's online is